Susan Frank talks to the animals and you. It's Wild About Pets on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the show, brought to you by Nutrisource, a trusted family pet food company for over 40 years. I'm talking to Victoria Shade, dog trainer and author of Bonding with Your Dog, A Trainer's Secrets for Building a Better Relationship. Our phone lines are open. It's November 30th, 2012. You can call 888-463-6748 or email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net to ask Victoria a question. We are talking a little bit about why buying a dog, a puppy, from a pet store may mean there are some inherent problems with that dog, and it has to do with the fact if the dog came from a puppy mill. Victoria, what do we mean by puppy mills?
Well, and let me correct that last sentence.
Oh, okay.
It's not if. It's if they came from a puppy mill. If you're buying a dog in a store, it did come from a puppy mill. No matter what they say, no reputable breeder would ever sell their puppies to a store. So we have to make sure, because there's a lot of, PR that's going on to try and change people's perception of where these puppies are coming from. Oh, it's a family breeder. It's not. It's a puppy mill. And what I mean by puppy mill is a factory breeding facility where the emphasis is on the output, the number of dogs they can sell. It's about profit. It's not about the health of the dogs, the welfare of the dogs. And the reality is these animals are living the most deprived and horrific lives you can imagine. If you want to be shocked by it, you know, search on Google, look up puppy mill and go to images and you'll be sick to your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
These dogs are kept in small cages. They're stacked on top, one on top of the other. So the dog on the bottom is coated in waste. They never get to leave their cages. They don't have proper medical care. And these are the breeding dogs. These aren't the cute little puppies you see at the stores. This is where those puppies came from.
Mm. I've spoken to a number of trainers over, you know, the years on the show, Victoria, and they actually say some of the more severe or long-lasting behavioral problems come from those puppies that did have their start in the puppy mills. And that's been very distressing to hear. It almost makes me think that somehow the dogs have been mentally damaged kind of right from the get-go.
Well, it's the deprivation. Puppies go through critical periods of socialization between, you know, depending on who you're talking to, 6 and 14, 8 and 16 weeks. And if the puppies are living these horribly deprived lives, they're not getting out and being handled by strangers, which is important. You know, putting their feet on different surfaces, which sounds so minor, but is really critical. Meeting other dogs. These things aren't happening. So they're kept in these terrible little cages, and then they're brought to the pet store.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why they have these lasting challenges.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're talking about the great benefits for actually adopting from an animal shelter, which is that you can get, you know, any kind of breed pretty much you want. You can get a dog of any age. A lot of times the dogs are perfectly fine. They don't have any problems. You know, they may have been given to the shelter for any reasons that had to do with the people. What are some of the other myths that people do believe about shelter animals?
A really common one is that dogs that end up in shelters have been abused. And a lot of times these dogs will present as if they have been initially. You know, they'll act shy. They might duck if you raise your hand. And people say it to me all the time, like, I know this dog was abused by a man because he's afraid of men. What's more often the case is the dog either wasn't socialized to those types of people or experiences, or they've just been, you know, they've been contained in the shelter and they've kind of lost that socialization muscle. So it's important that people realize that even if a dog might seem a little shy, it's not an indicator of past abuse.
Yes, and that makes sense. Just the shelter environment can be very traumatic or disturbing.
Yeah.
I was told when I adopted my dog that it may actually take up to 2 to 4 months for my dog's true personality to come out and for her to feel very comfortable and trusting again that, oh, this is the forever home.
Right. I call that the honeymoon period, and it can go either way. Your honeymoon period with your new rescue dog can be blissful, where you're like, this is amazing. I have the best dog ever. Or it could be on the flip side, just as difficult. You know, my dog's fearful and he's pottying in the house and we're having some challenges. But I always say the dog that you look at on the day you bring him home is not the dog you will end up with. There's this adjustment and acclimation period that happens. And you learn about each other. Your dog learns about his new environment. and then you see the blossoming dog that you will end up with.
And now I know you have been a contributor to PetSide.com because I gather you write a number of articles. Tell us a little bit more about that.
PetSide.com is your one-stop shop for all things pets. So whether you're a pet enthusiast or a pet owner, we've got funny blogs. I like to think that some of mine are funny. book reviews about pet books. We do breed highlights. There's a symptom checker, which is really great. Like if your dog has the sniffles or your cat, I'm being very dog focused, has any kind of symptom you want to check out, you can put the symptoms in and get a first opinion before you actually hit your vet. And then training videos as well, which I'm partial to because I'm in a lot of them.
Oh, okay. Great.
So, yeah, at PetSide, I'm lucky because they let me write about whatever I feel like writing about. So I'll do topics, you know, from the serious. I do write a lot about puppy mills. Shelter myths has been a popular topic, especially during our PetNet event this year. And, it's great. I mean, I really encourage all of your listeners to check out PetSide.com. Specifically, PetSide.com/PetNet2012.
And I I do have the link to that on my show page under this today's date, November 30th, on wildaboutpets.net. I am talking to Victoria Shea, dog trainer, about the benefits of adopting a dog from an animal shelter. Our phone lines are open. It's November 30th, 2012. You can call 1-888-463-6748 or email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net. to ask a question. We're also looking at photographs, so make sure you have your player window open. Well, so in addition to, of course, the PetSide.com link, Victoria, I have the links to your website, Life on the Leash, and also I have a picture here of your DVD that you made speaking about training. And obviously, if we brought a new puppy home from a shelter, we need to know what to do with it.
Right.
So you have a DVD on a training, and then also you have a book, Bonding with Your Dog, A Trainer's Secrets for Building a Better Relationship. Now, you know, we're kind of talking about adoption today, so we won't get into that. But can you give us a little bit of a nutshell of why someone would want to turn to your wonderful resources when they've just adopted a dog and brought it home?
Well, New Puppy Now, what came about because the clients, my training clients, seemed to all have the same laundry list of questions, and they all had stacks of books on their nightstand, and it seemed like the books weren't addressing the questions. So I thought a visual way of helping new puppy owners through their challenges would really be helpful. And this is true of rescue puppies, any puppy. It really addresses the top challenges that people face, things like potty training, crate training, nipping, jumping up. So it's just a really quick way of getting through issues that are driving you crazy. And like I said, it's good for rescue dogs and puppies from the breeder. In terms of bonding with your dog, I think it's a nice fit for people bringing home a rescue dog because you don't have that shared history necessarily if it's an older dog. You haven't had the years to build up the relationship. So it's a way of highlighting what you should do to get the most out of your relationship.
Wonderful. And again, how to order the book, there's a link right there. And so you can find out more, of course, about Victoria's DVD and the book by going to her website, Life on the Leash. And again, the link is there on my page for this show on wildaboutpets.net. Victoria, I know you have some strong feelings about it being critical that the pet-focused media comes together to support shelters and the adoption. Let's talk about that a bit.
Well, with PetNet, as I mentioned, it's an annual event, and this year PetSide.com is focusing on pet adoption. And the 25 bloggers have been covering topics, any topic that you could think of that when you're bringing home a new shelter dog, or if you're even considering bringing home a shelter or a foster dog, those questions can be answered. And again, it's PetSide.com/PetNet2012. The bloggers are amazing. They're all very knowledgeable, well-known in the pet industry. And I think it's a great resource for your listeners that might be considering. Even as I keep mentioning fostering, it's a really helpful step that I don't think is out there enough, that if you want to help a pet, a dog, cat, whatever, but you can't bring a pet into your house full time, fostering is a nice way. It's a beautiful way to help a dog get to his forever home, or a cat for that matter.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the articles you've written and some of the the tips you have about people bringing home their rescued dog. So how do we prepare a family for the new pet, would you say?
Well, the first step is making sure that everyone's on the same page. We want to make sure that everyone from the most junior member in the family to the most senior is ready to bring a dog into the house. We also want to make sure that you've done an inventory of what's important to you in a pet. Do you want a high-energy, high-drive breed that you're going to have to exercise? Or do you want someone who's a little bit older and lazier? And that's a plug for the senior dogs out there. I think we're all very puppy-focused, but senior dogs make great pets. And there are, sadly, far too many senior dogs in the foster and shelter system.
I agree. I was actually thinking of adopting a much older dog. Rosie happens to be about a year and a half, so kind of still in the puppy stage. But, yes, so there were many 2-, 3-, 4-, 5-year-old dogs. And I want to say I've heard that sometimes for families with very, very young children, like under the age of 7, actually starting with an older dog is not a bad idea at all.
It's not a bad idea. I think that we all, we have the fairy tale image of kids and puppies, but the reality isn't always a fairy tale. It's a challenge. I just had someone in my store today with 2 kids under 2 and a 4-month-old dog. And I said, okay, you must have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
But yeah, senior dogs could make a really great addition. And I've worked with, as a trainer, I think that's another myth we need to address too. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Oh, my gosh, you can.
Right.
12-year-old dogs. I worked with a dog that was an outside farm dog, and I think 11 or 12. This dog learned so quickly, and it was so beautiful. I'm a sap. I cry all the time when I work with clients because I'm so moved by what I'm seeing. And I can't speak highly enough about the people that open their hearts and their homes to senior dogs.
My dog, Rosie, of course, was about a year and a half old, and she came to me not really knowing her cues, not really knowing how to walk on a leash. So I had to kind of start from scratch with training. Of course, it's nice because she's not into that puppy, I want to chew everything up. And she's more attentive, but she's learning. And here I have a picture of me and her at one of the training classes. And so I definitely believe, just like you do, that you can definitely train dogs, and no matter what their age is. What are some of the 5 top rescue dog mistakes that you have become aware of, Victoria?
Well, a few of them are, I mean, some of them are simple. Things like, don't forget to get your ID tag or your microchip. And I fell prey to this myself. I let my new dog, Olive, I think it was a month and a half before I realized, oh my gosh, I have no identification on my dog. Wouldn't that be really bad press? So now both Millie and Olive have not only tags, but they're microchipped as well. So that's one of the myths. I'm sorry, I'm so stuck on myths.
I know.
That's one of the mistakes. Another mistake is letting the dog sleep in bed with you the very first night. Now, I'm not one of these trainers that's anti-dogs in bed. I had 2 dogs in my bed last night. But I do think it's important for a new dog to get a sense of place of his own. So having the crate, like if the dog was crate trained at the foster situation, continuing with the crate. If not, having a bed and a special place for that dog. It gets really crazy and involved in the new house, and it's important that the dog has a place to go just to be quiet.
Oh, actually, Victoria, I'm so happy to hear you say that, because something that I had read was, ideally, you know, you want to be able to have the dog sleep with you, at least in the room, because it'll help the bonding in the first couple of days. But I'm allergic, actually, to dogs and cats. So, you know, I maintain it fine. So she has, you know, her bed in her crate right now, and she's slept in there from day one. But I was worried, am I, you know, somehow reducing the bonding because of that. So thank you for sharing that.
Not at all. No, you're not hindering your bond.
Wonderful.
In that picture of you guys training, there are 2 things that I love. Treat and clicker in your hand. Beautiful.
Yes, I believe in positive reinforcement training and clicker training.
Yay.
Yes, I'm working with a wonderful Chicagoland trainer, Laura Monaco Torelli, who is just fabulous, and I'm here working with her. And she's the one that took the picture of me and Rosie. So, all right, what are some of the other mistakes that people commonly make?
Well, one of them is assuming abuse. You know, the article that you're referring to is actually a video, and you can find it on petside.com if you look up, I believe it's called Top 5 Rescue Dog Mistakes.
Okay.
Is assuming the dog has been abused. I think we write off a lot of behavior. This you know, scary Cinderella story, the dog was trapped in a cellar somewhere. Granted, that does happen. But the majority, as I mentioned, are just cases of under-socialization or lack of exposure. So that's another common misconception about, or mistake that people make about their new rescue dogs. See, I'm still stuck on those myths.
Well, that's good, and we want to break those as much as possible. So that's not a bad thing at all.
Definitely.
Well, and sometimes mistakes are also based on misunderstandings or incorrect information.
Right, exactly.
So dog-proofing your home. I think a lot of people have problems when they bring their dog home and they get into things, and I think it's because they just didn't take the time to move the things out of the way to prevent the dog from getting in trouble in the first place.
That's exactly right. I think we all know about dog proofing and puppy proofing, but we don't realize just how creative our dogs can be when they're bored or when they feel like they need to chew on something. So I recommend starting low. And take away the obvious stuff, too, you know, like the shoes and the socks, and we all know that. But then get creative. Get low. Get at your dog or puppy's level. Take down the dish towels that are hanging low, the dangling tablecloths and runners, the decorative blankets on the back of the couch, things that are going to be too tempting for your dog to resist.
Okay. When we come back, because we're going to take a break in a minute, we're going to find out what you want to know about training your newly adopted dog. So stay with us. We'll be right back.